out of Philippians chapter 3, 1 through 16. When Paul talks about, but I press on, forgetting those things which are in the past. You know that song that we sang, so blessed I can contain it. So much I got to give it away. It's the blessing. You're so blessed that you can't contain it and you're giving it away. What have you been giving away other than the blessing? He didn't say you're so cursed. He says you're so blessed. Give that away. Give what God has given you away. Amen? If you got your Bibles, open up to Philippians chapter 3. I'm reading out of the New Living Translations. If you don't have that, it'll be up here on the board. This is the Apostle Paul saying, whatever happens, my dear brothers and sisters, rejoice in the Lord. I never get tired of telling you these things, and I do it to safeguard your faith. See, we don't rejoice in our circumstances. We don't rejoice in our worldly possessions. We don't rejoice in our accomplishments, lest we become arrogant and prideful. We rejoice in the Lord sometimes, always. Verse 2 says, watch out for those dogs. Those people who do evil, those mutilators who say you must be circumcised to be saved. Paul called the Jews who rejected Jesus and were trying to harm Christians dogs. So I'm saying, if we're so blessed that we can't contain it, why are we giving a curse away? Why are we giving hatred away? Why are we giving evil away to each other? It should be the love of God. The Jews regarded dogs as unclean animals, and they would sometimes even call Gentiles dogs. Verse 3. For we who worship by the Spirit of God are the ones who are truly circumcised. We rely on what Christ Jesus has done for us. We put no confidence in human effort. Paul here defines the true believers in Jesus. Though they were not circumcised, yet they are the circumcision. To be a true believer is to relate to God, not based upon your works, but by the Spirit of God. When you live by the Spirit, you are also living according to the Word of God. That's our instruction manual for life. We live by the Word of God. And Jesus says, my words are spirit in John 6:63. My words are spirit and they are life. His words are life-giving. Our words should be life-giving. When we rely on Jesus, our focus is on Him, and nothing else matters after that point. When we get into the presence, nothing else matters. It's about Jesus. I was talking with a man. I went to a camp meeting in Topeka. Pastor, he came and preached here years ago, Pastor Scott Webb. And he asked me, what is the Lord saying to you in this season? Stay focused. Stop trying to compete. Dominate. Because when you're competing, you're constantly looking at the next person. Well, I wonder what Isaiah's going to do today. Because I got to outdo him. He runs 1 mile. I need to run 1.1 mile. I'm not running two. I might walk it. He presses on. Stay focused. We rely on Jesus. Our focus is on Him. Jesus stands at center attention in our lives. No one else, not your spouse, not your children, not even your job. Jesus is the focus. When we put our confidence in our flesh, or human effort, we are setting ourselves up for a big disappointment. Jesus will never disappoint you. Because He is who He says He is. He's never failed anyone. When we end up canceling out what Jesus did for us through the cross, when we set ourselves up to be our own saviors, our own deliverers, our own weak. I got to do this in my, I got to try to change something. I got to try to start something. I got to try to do this and do that in order to get what I need. No. Just rest in what He's already done for you and live that out. Verse 4 says, though I could have confidence in my own effort and anyone could, indeed, if others have reason for confidence in their own efforts, I have even more. The Jewish false teachers would put their confidence in themselves and in their religion. That's a dead end. Paul is saying he's not inferior to any of them, but he chose a better way and rejected all that confidence in self and religion. He rejected all that stuff. He went through all of it. Putting confidence in self will lead you away from Jesus. You can see these religious leaders didn't have a relationship with him. Even though they read about him, even though they talked about the word in every which way, and the Jesus is through in the beginning all the way to the end, they still couldn't even recognize who he was, because religion will always blind you. It's going to be real difficult to rejoice in the Lord if your confidence is in your ability to get what you want, when you want it, and how you want it. Our confidence must always be in who? Jesus. Jesus. Verse 5, it says, I was circumcised when I was 8 days old. I am pure-blooded. I am a pure-blooded citizen of Israel and a member of the tribe of Benjamin, a real Hebrew if there was one. I was a member of the Pharisees who demanded the strictest obedience to the Jewish law. See, Israel was God's chosen people. And the tribe of Benjamin was one of the smallest, but yet one of the most courageous tribes and important tribes in Jerusalem. And some of y'all know King Saul was from the tribe of Benjamin. Paul wasn't no phony to the Hebrews. He was no phony Hebrew. He went through the customs and learned their language that real Hebrews go through in order to be a Hebrew. He went through all of that. He did those rituals. He did, he studied the language in every which way. Even before Rosetta Stone was there, he did all of that. That's hard to do. That takes a lot of time. That takes a lot of determination. He was no slouch. Verse 6 says, I was so zealous that I harshly persecuted the church, the body of Christ. As for righteousness, I obeyed the law without fault. Paul was zealous that he hated anyone who taught something that had to do with Jesus. He was so zealous for the law. He was so zealous in his religious manner that he would do anything in order to persecute the church. If anyone came preaching Jesus, he was ready to persecute him. He was ready to throw him in jail. Having a religious spirit will cause people to try and persecute others for not believing the way they believe. In the Merriam-Webster dictionary, the word persecute means to harass or punish in a manner designed to injure, grieve, or afflict. Religion will blind you to the fact that you will inflict pain on others. And you will truly believe that what you're doing is all in the name of the Lord. But that's religion. That's not Jesus. He comes to set you free, not to bind you up. Amen. He comes to deliver you. He comes to save you. He did not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. But some live in the reverse. They come to destroy men's lives and not save them. Religion will get you thinking that what you're doing is the right thing, when in fact, people are still in bondage, never been delivered. They can't be healed in any way, shape, or form because it is blinding them. We serve a mighty God. Amen. It's really for the kingdom of self and for the kingdom of darkness. Jesus said, this is how they will know you are my disciples. You're what for each other? Love. Your love for each other. That's the steeple. That's right there. Your love for each other. No, no, no. I'm not going to go at Pastor Brandon and try to trip him up and try to hurt him in any way or shape or form. Because why? Because that wouldn't be true discipleship. Because he's God's child too. Why on earth would I want to do that? That's stupid on my part. That's a how dumb can you get and breathe moment. People who are truly disciples for Jesus don't go around persecuting others for recreation. Verse 7, it says, I once thought these things were valuable, but now I consider them worthless because of what Christ has done. You know, if Paul considered them worthless, shouldn't we? After all, he wrote the third of the New Testament, one third of the New Testament. I think he knows what he's talking about, right? What Paul thought was valuable, he considered them worthless. You know, I spent 7 years studying science. I spent 7 years, you know, studying with some of the greatest teachers in the world. I spent 10 years doing these things, and I got a PhD in science. I got a PhD in physics. I got a PhD in, you know, I know 10 different languages. Paul said, I considered it garbage comparing to know Jesus Christ. It was all nothing to him. We can go around, sit around bragging all day long about, man, you know what? I did this and I finished this book and, you know, I wrote a book about stem cells and, you know, if these stem cells co-active and react towards, some fungi here, then you can get a nuclear reaction right here. And it's really, really good. What did you do? Well, I spent 2 hours in the presence of God and realized all of that is garbage. Paul considered all of those things which he had done to gain the respect of other religious leaders worthless. In verse 8, says this, yes, everything else is worthless when compared with the infinite value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake I have discarded everything else, counted it all as garbage so that I can gain Christ. Everything that Paul had accomplished was nothing compared to knowing Jesus. Everything. He counted it all as garbage. What good is it to know more than the next person sitting at your table, but you don't really know who Jesus truly is? Doesn't do any good. He said, I have discarded everything else. They mean nothing to me so that I could gain Christ. Everything he had done up to his point, before his encounter with Jesus on the road to Damascus, Paul said, peace and a bottle of hair grease to my past. Verse 9, it says, and become one with him. I no longer count on my own righteousness through obeying the law. Rather, I become righteous through faith in Christ. For God's way of making us right with him self depends on faith. Being one with Jesus, not according to our deeds, but according to his purpose. His purpose is to live through you. Jesus' purpose is to live through you, to love through you, to preach through you, to teach through you, to correct through you, to heal through you. That every born again believer would experience the glory of our Lord and Savior and fulfill his purpose for his people. Verse 10. He says, I want to know Christ and experience the mighty power that raised him from the dead. I want to suffer with him, sharing in his death. You want to know the difference between being a disciple of Jesus Christ and the rest of all of the other religions? The power. Number one, Jesus is seated in heavenly places, and we are seated with him. He's not dead. He's alive. He is risen. We don't serve a dead God. We serve the living God. We serve the one true God. And we serve a mighty, powerful God. And that is the difference between a spirit-filled, born-again child of God than any other religion that is out there. So when was the last time you said, I want to experience the real power of God in my life? Not some stuff that I can work and get it done. We can do that and say, ta-da. We can do that. if we have the resources. But when was the last time you really seen the power of God operate in your life and just, I'm just talking about just knocked you out? Paul wanted the real thing. I want the real thing. You should want the real thing. Everything else we consider garbage. God is not short on power. Well, you know, Randy and Anita, they use it all up yesterday. So you're just going to have to wait next month. The first of the month comes. You're all right. No, we're not standing by the pool waiting for an angel to stir it up. It's already been stirred up. Verse 11, so that one way or another, I will experience the resurrection from the dead. This is a now experience, not a later. This is a now experience. Paul is wanting to experience the resurrection power in this lifetime, not the next. We should want to experience his power in this lifetime, not the next. It's not, well, I'll wait until I get to heaven and I'm standing with Jesus. No, he's saying you should have been doing that now. Then. You don't have to wait on the next, because the same power that raised Jesus from the dead is on the inside of each and every one of us. The supernatural is a part of your spiritual DNA. My family's name is growing up known throughout our city that I grew up in, and I had cousins that were just great ballers. I mean, great athletes. You couldn't be considered a nunnery if you weren't a great athlete. You a nunnery? Yeah. No, you ain't. You get some fakers out there. No, you ain't. Why? You can't play, man. You tripping all over your feet. There's no way a nunnery gene is in you. That's in our spiritual DNA. That resurrection power of God resides in us. So if you want to see the supernatural, you're going to have to speak the supernatural. And get around with those who live and experience it for themselves. If you want to know more about Jesus, you're going to have to get with people who know Jesus. If you want to grow deeper in your relationship with Jesus, you're going to have to sit down next to someone who knows that and spend some time yourself and into the Word and then figure out who he is. You know, if you sit down with some successful businessman, I guarantee you within a few months, you're going to be talking different. You're going to be thinking different. You may even be dressing different. Why? Because what they're doing is basically changing your world. They're changing your culture. They're changing the way you do things. Wait a minute. I never thought that I can do this. But you guys over here saying, all of you done it. And God is not a respecter of persons. Oh. The year of no limits is breaking off. They will help you open your eyes to a whole new world that you never knew existed. So if you want to experience the supernatural, then you're going to have to get to know him and realize that it's already done. It's already a done deal. Let the Holy Spirit lead you into doing things. Those who are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. Let the Holy Spirit lead you. Verse 12. He says, I don't mean to say that I have already achieved these things or that I have already reached perfection, but I press on to possess that perfection for which Christ Jesus first possessed me. Even with all the things that Paul had mentioned pre-Jesus and getting to know him more, Paul had not reached full spiritual maturity. And he's sitting here writing this. All the things that he had been through, he had not reached it. Understand, maturity does not mean perfection. He missed it too. If he hadn't reached it, do you believe you come to your full maturity as a believer? I haven't. But we're going to press on. I haven't reached the full purpose of my calling, but I will press on. You haven't completed everything that God has planned for you, but you will press on. Keep it moving. If you get stuck in life, praise will help you get out. Talking about the same pastor that I had talked to. He had done this in conference. I thought it was good. It stuck with me every time. We used to have a guy by the name of Cowboy back in college. We called him Cowboy. He kind of talked and looked like Matthew McConaughey. Is that how you say his last name? But, man, he would go, there'd be some rainy days, and then he would take his little truck out, and this is the first time I ever heard about it, and he went out mudding. I think he blew maybe 2 or 3 engines during that year. Had a Nissan. That's probably why. That's why. Get him a real pickup. Nissan makes trucks, what? That's fine. But when you go mudding, your tires get stuck, what do you have to do? Accelerate. You can't just stay there because you're going to be stuck in the mud. And then you got to spin those tires as much as you can and just vroom, 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 kicking up all that mud everywhere and every which way. And if you don't have your windows up, it's going to come right into your face. But see, sometimes people get stuck in life. And the best thing to do is to spin and get up out of there. No, I was not going to turn into Wonder Woman. Test of 1, 2. Get this over here. All right, yeah, let's go. I won't do that again. That's a once in a lifetime thing. Got my heart racing now. But sometimes you get stuck. Praise is the way out. But whatever you do, you got to keep moving. You got to keep moving. You got to keep going. You got to keep persevering. I cheated on my diet. We're going to have to wait until Monday. No, you ain't got to wait till Monday. Just start right now. Well, I need to spend time with Jesus. I'm going to start Monday. No, just do it now. We're always waiting for, I understand, 8 is the day of new beginnings, but you can do it now. Jesus wasn't saying, well, it isn't Monday, this is Friday, so I can't do anything until Monday. He wasn't saying that. It was now. Faith is, come on. Be in his presence. Be in his presence. So much that you will never want to do anything else. Paul is still wanting to grow more and more. But in order for him to do that, he had to stay connected to the true vine, which is Jesus. People, we can grow in many different areas of our lives, but comparing to know Jesus, game over. Doesn't matter. I don't know much about cars, but I do know Jesus. You know about cars, and you also know about Jesus. Come on. I'll just go to you for cars. Verse 13 says this. No, dear brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it, but I focus on this one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. If there's one thing that we all need to get a hold of, it's this right here. I focus on one thing. Forgetting. Forgetting means to lose out of my mind. I know we can't forget certain things that happen, but some people can. I mean, I'm talking about supernaturally, they are so involved with Jesus that they forgot what a certain individual may have done in their life in the past. losing out of my mind the what? The past, and looking forward to what lies ahead. Short memory is a blessing. I'm not talking about short-term memory loss. I'm talking about, what's your name? Bob. How you doing? I'm Bob. Well, they did this yesterday. They did what yesterday? They did this thing. That was yesterday. It's a new day. New mercies. New grace. That was yesterday. Let it go. It's behind you. Rearview mirror. It's behind you. Leave the past in the past. You have to develop some tough skin, but you can still have a heart of flesh. Well, but they've been doing this for quite some time. Yes, it hurts. It will hurt, but you have to let go of the hurt. You have to let go of the pain. You have to let go of what they said. You have to let go of what they've done and keep moving forward. You got to keep pressing on. Because if not, you're going to get stuck. And how you get out of being stuck? Very slow. Getting to know Jesus more will help you heal the right way. I'm not talking about getting even. I'm talking about getting over. Come on. And when you move forward, you keep pressing on. And they want to try to do all those same things again. Now, you're not coming from hurt and confusion. You're coming from healed and experience. You know that's not going to work anymore. They may try to, the enemy will try the same old tactics, but it's not going to work on you anymore because you've grown. You've healed. You've moved on. And now you're pressing on towards your goal. You ain't got to worry about what they did. So you're going to have to learn to let it go. If you want things to work out, let go of the pain. If you want things to function the way that God wants it, let go of the hurt. If you want them to have a better relationship with Jesus, you're going to have to learn to let go of even that control. You got to let go. If you want to go to the next level with what God has for you, you got to let go. Let's keep pressing on. Let's keep moving forward. Let's keep moving. Let's keep pursuing Him. Get up and let's go. I'm not trying to rush anybody in the healing process because that takes time. We don't ever want to do that. But that takes time. But when you're ready to go, let's go. When you're ready to go, let's go and let's go. Put on your royal apparel and let's go. Put on the whole armor of God and let's go. Stop your complaining. And let's go. You were created for such a time as this. Now let's go. Verse 14, it says, I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us. That race. I know for a fact, without a shadow of a doubt, I cannot run a 4-minute mile. And I am very certain it will be close with me riding a bike to finish a 4-minute mile. I can drive it. But I've seen where some of these athletes are racing, and I'm talking about the greatest comeback in history. They get the baton or what have you, and then they just fall right there, and everybody's got a 10 or 20 minute head lead. And they get up. And they run I'm talking about they just continue to persevere. They continue to push. They continue to press on. They continue to move. And I'm talking about they're getting it. And they end up running the fastest leg they've ever ran in their life after they fail. You're falling. Get back up. This is going to be the best leg of your life. Why? It's the year of no limits. Every believer has this on the inside of them. It's that let's go mentality. If you see some of those players on the court, they're like, let's go! Let's go! It fires them up. I'm talking about a whole level of just chaos. Good chaos. Let's go! Let's go! Get up and let's go! You can feel the momentum change. Let's go. Get up. Get up. Get up. Get up. Get up. Get up. Get up out of that grave. I kid you not. My wife sent that song to me when I was in ICU. I thank God. Get up. Get up. Get up. Get up out of that bed. Get up out of that grave. My oxygen level's staying there. I'm over here just... Let's go. You can't stay stuck. Anything that just sits will eventually go bad. Paul is looking toward the future. The heavenly prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us. In verse 15, it says, let all who are spiritually mature agree on these things. If you disagree on some point, I believe God will make it plain to you. In verse 16, I didn't give you that. I apologize. But we must hold on to the progress we have already made. Spiritually mature does not mean perfection. It's how quickly you can bounce back from those things. How quickly can you get up after you fail? Or are you going around saying, woe is me? Well, they said this about me. Well, all they said was, you know, this was some time ago, and there's a funny thing on TikTok. Don't judge me. Please don't judge me. But it'll be the guy saying, my wife doesn't love me. Says she doesn't love, she wants a divorce. She doesn't love me anymore. She goes, I didn't say that. He goes, what did you say? I said you couldn't go golfing. You know, making a big deal out of nothing. In women, you can flip it. You can flip it. So are you still talking about what they did back in 1985? Back in 1973? Back in 1999? They say 2000. Party over. Back in 2005? Back in 2020, I'm not bringing 22 into 23. It's staying back there. It's behind me. Forgetting those things which are behind me. Don't bring 22 or any other year into 23 because it will limit what God wants to do in your life. Doesn't matter. Leave it in the past. Stop going off of yesterday's revelation. There's a new revelation today that will spark a revolution. This is a year of no limits. Getting to know Jesus is the most important thing you can do as a believer. If people don't want to help you along the journey, but they'd rather help themselves, let go. I've recognized who is for me and who is against me. If they're against me, I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to bless you. The Bible says to pray for those who persecute you. Bless those who curse you. If your enemy is thirsty, give him something to drink. If he is hungry, give him something to eat. Listen, if you want to go to the taco truck, I will buy you a carne asada burrito. Carne asada torta or something like that. It'll be good. And a pineapple jarrito. I will hook it up for you. But if you're not for me, you're against me. And if you're against me, you're going to lose, brother. Why? Because I rely on Jesus. Because I'm pressing on. You want to stay there in 22, you stay there. 23 is here. And before you know it, it's going to be 24. If Jesus should tarry. Small minds. We'll discuss people. Average minds will discuss events. But great minds will discuss ideas. I'm sitting at great minds' table. And if there is none, then we're going to create our own table.
Well, they don't want to sit around a group of men.
I don't want to sit around a group of men who are puppets for other people. I want somebody who can think for themselves and listen to God, not man. Stop dumbing yourself down for other people. When you have a wealth of information, you're going off of what so-and-so is saying. You're dumbing yourself down because God can create something through you. God can put something in you. And you're going off of so-and-so over here that don't know much. And then they just want their own little thing. Get rid of that. I want men who's got some backbone. I want men who's got some get go. Let's go. Let's get up and go. I want some men who ain't going to say, oh, yes, sir. I want some. No, we're not doing that. Why? Because it's not kingdom. You got it in you. It's in you. It's in you. It's in you. Let's go mentality. Well, he did this and that years ago. Let it go or stay stuck. But if you ever get stuck, you got to press on. You got to keep moving forward. The one who began a good work in you will see it through. Jesus will see it through. Keep pressing on because that hurts people's feelings. I love you, but I got to do what he's called me to do. And I'm not going to back down from that. This is a year of no limits. No limits. If it hurts, Pastor Tim hurt my feelings. I'm just talking to the man here. Pastor Tim hurt my feelings. If I hurt your feelings, build a bridge and get over it. Because I'm going to say like my boy Fidel, we had him here for a concert. And one of his songs is, I'm gone. I'm gone. 23 is here. I'm not living in 22. You shouldn't live in 22. Don't bring it in. If you did, get rid of it. God is doing a new thing. A new thing. Come on. We got to go. Sense of urgency. You got to go. When you fall, sense of urgency, get back up. There's going to be people around you. Get back up. Don't just try to get back up yourself. We're going to come over here and get you up. And let's go. It ain't about exploitation. It's about restoration. Let's go. You don't shoot the horse when it's dead. I watch Seabiscuit. And I'm telling you, kick some tail. Let's go. Do something that God, that only God can do through you. Quit resting in your own abilities. Those are great. But you need him. You need him in your life. Let's go. '23 is a new year. Second week. What are you still holding on to? If you're holding on to something, let it go right now. Just by faith, let it go. And if your spouse or somebody else around you try to bring it up or what have you, just let it go. They can say whatever they want. They're stuck. But you just smile on the inside knowing you're not there anymore. That person's gone. I'm a new creation. The old has passed. And behold, all things have become. Let it go. Let it go. Let go and let's go. Amen. Amen. Father God, we just thank you for today. We thank you, Lord, that you are giving us a supernatural peace that surpasses all understanding, Lord. We thank you, Father, that everyone in here can let go of those hurts, those pains, and what they're going through. Marriages, Father God, being restored in the name of Jesus. And, Father, that they can let go of those things, Lord, so that they can continue to pursue what you've got to do. Oh, we thank you. We thank you. Heal those hearts that need it. Heal the bodies that need it. Hips being healed right now in the name of Jesus. We thank you. Hallelujah. We thank you. Knees strengthen in the name of Jesus. We thank you. Sciatic healed in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord. Backs, Father God, we thank you for healing. Headaches, migraines, gone in the name of Jesus. We speak against that. Healed. Supernatural favor in their business, Lord. We thank you. We thank you. Favor in every area. Favor of wrong decisions, Lord. We thank you. Let's pray for those whom fathers may have had just a heart attack recently, Lord. We speak healing in that body. In the name of Jesus. I'm not going to back down. We're not backing down. You are the healer. In the name of Jesus. Cataracts. Healed. In the name of Jesus. We curse that spirit of infirmity. So that people can receive that healing in the name. To receive it, Lord. Receive it. Receive it, receive it, receive it. We curse you. Arthritis. We thank you for healing. If you got that, start wiggling your body wherever you got arthritis at. Lord, we thank you. God needs you to work. Lord, we thank you. We give you all the glory, honor, and praise in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Well, God bless you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for coming out. And if you're going to spend. Make sure there's nothing around so you don't hit the coffee table and everything else. God bless you.
Thank you for joining us today. If you want more information about Westview Church or would like to listen to a previous broadcast, we invite you to check out our website at westviewchurch.tv or like our Facebook page at Westview Church of Hayes.